And we're back with brews. I mean, wine coolers and reviews. Because we don't have brews tonight. We have Mike's Hard Lemonade and Cayman Jack. So
Cayman Jack, Moscow Mule.
Yeah, very. If you guys want to sponsor us, let us know. I'm sure you're listening to this. Today we're talking about one of my favorite Batman movies of all time, with the new trailer dropping of The Batman, which I'm actually pretty excited about. We're going to talk about Mask of the Phantasm, a little gem of Batman from the 90s that came out of the theatrical release, bombed, had a huge cult following, and I had to make Cole watch it. Once it came on Netflix, he's like, I don't have to pay anything for it? Fine, I'll watch it.
That is true. This is the first animated Batman movie I've ever watched, which anybody that knows me knows I love Batman, but I just never, especially as an adult, got into like animated movies.
Batman the Animated Series, like, I would if you like this movie, which you said you did, I highly recommend going back to the series. It is amazingly impressive. The voice acting, like, a lot of people consider Mark Hamill, who did the Joker, the best Joker of all time, and you can see why, and you saw a piece of this, but if you watch it all four seasons of the Batman Animated Series, and if I'm wrong about the number of seasons, it means I missed one, like, definitely, it's amazing. Like, I grew up on Spider-Man, X-Men, and Batman the Animated Series when I was a kid. Those were the shows I got. What was interesting, which someone pointed out, is that X-Men the Animated Series and Spider-Man the Animated Series from the 90s didn't use guns, they used lasers. Batman uses legit guns. Obviously, yeah. You can't get away with that anymore, but even back then it was kind of like a little taboo, like, oh, we don't want to put guns in a kid's show, so we have lasers because they're not real yet.
Yeah, and Batman's darker, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
Gritty reality.
But this is a movie that I watched. The first time I watched it, I was actually 19. I was living with Aaron, and he had it on VHS. Yes, VHS were a thing. And I had a VHS player in my room in college.
Did you know, total side note, that
you used to have to
rent the VCR player?
Huh?
You used to have to rent the VCR player and the movie?
I guess my dad was rich enough to afford one.
No, like, before
by then
that,
he wasn't.
Like, in the early 80s, like, that was a thing. Like, you had to rent the whole, like, unit.
That sounds about right. I actually, Aaron actually told me, my older brother, who's now 36, he told me that VHS tapes were, like, when they first came out, to buy at home video, like, $100 a piece. Like, astronomically high. And it's like, can you imagine, like, I really hope I like this movie.
Here's $100.
Can you imagine, here's $100. Like, if you bought a movie, like, either you saw in theaters or you knew, like, there was no, like, oh, $5 bin, here you go. Like, no, there was none
Wait.
Of that.
Wait. Again, total sidebar.
We're already sidebarring.
What movie?
Come back. Don't worry, listeners, we are going to come back to the movie, I promise.
What movie would you spend $100 on?
Me?
Yes.
There's a few.
$100. Flat out. That's the only way you could have the movie, you would spend it.
That's a tough one, because there is a couple in my head right now. Hook. Hook for sure. A little nostalgic, but we might talk about that later. Hook is a fantastic movie. I thought it was nostalgic, but I keep watching. I keep showing people. Any people that haven't seen it, do love the movie. Hook is definitely my number one film that I want to own, period. Not that there's a few other ones in there, but Hook is mine. How about yours?
I mean... Yeah, I mean, in the end, if I had to choose between, like, never seeing the movie again, I don't know how to, but there's probably a few I'd choose, but probably something like The Prestige. Just one of those that's, like, such a good movie, so rewatchable, and then it's so fun because every time when you're watching it with someone new, it's, like, blows their mind, and you just get to watch, like, their brains fall out of their head.
My second one was Fight Club. Like, why did I spend $100 just so I can show people, like, listen, I spent $100, shut up, sit down, watch the movie. But anyway, we sidetracked pretty hard there for a second. Mask of the Phantasm, this is a movie that, like I said, bombed. And I've rewatched this movie time and time and time again. And it is a really underrated gem as far as, like, what is the best Batman film. Like, as far as voice acting, they nail it. This is a very... For a cartoon, especially back in the day, back when PG meant something, it was, like, there was no... I don't think there was PG-13. There might have been. But this is... You don't want to take your five-year-old to this Batman cartoon.
No, actually, I started watching this with my 2.5-year-old son, and we made it about 30 seconds in. I'm like, nah, actually, I think this is not a children's movie.
No. It gets dark. Like, you see people, there's people dead. You see how they die. And it's like, holy crap. Like, this is... The Batman the Animated Series, like, I can see why people are so violent today. Those that watch that. Like, it is... They do not... They pull punches as much as they have to for an animated series, but they push the boundary as how far a kid show can go. And this movie just exemplified that.
Yeah, and again, for a... Like, it took me a little bit to get into the movie. I don't watch a lot of animated... Like,
I watch Disney
movies. But as far as if you're going to take a serious movie that's then animated, I'm like, okay.
This will never be on Disney Plus. I can tell you that right now.
It took me like 25, 30 minutes to finally like get over the fact that it was animated before I could really get into the story. And are we jumping into spoilers or... Or what do we want to say before I jump into spoilers?
I highly recommend this movie. I'm like, if you are a Batman fan, if you're a superhero fan, and you have not seen this movie, go watch it. You will love it. I'm like, I should refer it to you because you hate animated films and you watched it.
I watched it and it was definitely good. There are a couple things that like just the basic premise limits, but. We can get into that as we...
So you recommend it, though?
Yes.
So if you haven't seen the movie, rent a VHS player and go watch it. So now we're getting into spoilers. The animated series... I mean, you never saw
it. This isn't the animated series.
No, but this is the movie that came off the animated series. Like, it was the same... Everyone was the same character, same voice actor, same everything. This came from that animated series, and... What's awesome about it is that the animated series never, even if you watch episode one or season one, there was really no backstory to Bruce Wayne. And they kind of skipped it over. But it's a great show, but they never, like, they give you some flashbacks from what I've seen. I haven't seen all the episodes. If I'm missing anything, I apologize. But I never, like, when I was watching it back when it was on Netflix and then they took it away, so I never got to finish it, they never really gave an honest-to-God Bruce Wayne story, like, from the beginning. And this was a very powerful way to bring the origin story. You get kind of like, okay, Batman, year one. Here's what he's doing. He's fighting criminals. But he also falls in love. And one of my favorite scenes, I may be brushing ahead really quick, but when he cries at his gravestone, like, he was talking to his parents at their gravestone saying, please, I want it to be different. Like, he was looking at backing out because he fell in love with someone. And, like, was so mad that he was happy. It was crazy. And that's what you're talking about, like, a kid. Like, a kid wouldn't get that. But, like, when you watch it as an adult, it's so amazing to watch him, like, I promised my parents this when they died. And he was literally this close. He's like, I didn't count on being... His quote is, I didn't count on being happy. Like, it was so powerful for me. And this is where, like, after that moment, I'm like, this definitely, like... I believe all of this. I believe all the characters. I believe the love story between the two. And, like, that's what solidifies this as a legitimate, not only legitimate, probably top three of my favorite Batman films of all time.
Oh, top three. I mean...
Dark Knight Rises is obviously number one. I mean, come on.
Let's not fight about the Dark Knight trilogy again, because clearly Batman Begins is where it's at.
No, it's not!
Followed closely by the Dark Knight, and then the Dark Knight Rises. But... No, and back to the Mask of the Phantasm, as far as, like I said, it took me a while to get into it, both because it was animated and, like, as I was watching it initially, did not, like, the idea that, you know, you have this villain that's, like, kind of this, like, ghost and there's smoke and mirrors type thing where I was, like, didn't resonate with me at all. I mean, really, there's, like...
Until...
Well, and it makes more sense in the end. But, like, I'm like, if this is what it's going to be, like, Jake's on crack, I do not like this movie if this is just what it is. Like, let's just have this, like, spooky villain that he's, like, going to somehow defeat. Like, where was I going with this? Oh, yeah. So
you tell me.
So, took a little while to get into it. And then there's the idea that, like, for a villain to be a good villain, like, it has to have, like, something personal.
Depth. There has to be depth to a good villain.
But you know, it has to be personally, like, somehow, like, a personal thing against the hero. And so when it's, like, this random, like, person that was killing people, I'm like, okay, either they're doing a really sloppy storytelling job and this is just going to be the most boring movie, I'm like, oh, and actually this is starting to make sense. And yeah, to get into spoilers, they do a good job.
We already gave the spoiler.
I'm just saying, like, you don't have to spoiler the spoiler.
Double spoiler alert.
Triple spoiler alert. They do a good job of setting it up so that you do think it is the dad. So the girl that he falls in love with, the dad, it's like, it just makes sense. He's not in the movie. They're like, oh, we don't know where he is. And mobsters are dropping like flies. All his old connections were like, okay. Like, it just, like, makes sense. So, you know, like, as soon as you get over the initial, like, this is a dumb villain, you're like, oh, actually, okay, I see where they're going with this. This makes sense. And then, like, at the end, they're like, ha-ha, guess what? It was the girl he fell in love with the whole time.
Which added such a, I mean, for me, and this is what the Batman animated series, which you haven't seen, Cole, did a great job of. There's been some complaints. I didn't really have them with the Dark Knight trilogy. I have to bring this in just for a point. But Batman is the world's greatest detective. And this feels like a detective movie. Like, and they did it all the time. Like, Batman's just trying to figure it out the whole way. And we're kind of along with him on the ride. And this twist made complete sense when the story unfolds. And, like, it's not like, oh, you look back at it like, no. Why would you do it that way? Why would it be the girl you love, quadruple spoiler alert, is the Phantasm? But it totally makes sense. And because of the way it's masked, like, it's almost sexist in a way. Like, oh, pretty sure that's a guy. And then, oh, shit, it's a woman.
I mean, the deep, spooky voice does kind of make you think.
Yeah, but that's the point. You should never judge a book by its phantasm mask. But it gets really dark because, like, obviously Batman is a hero in this universe. And Jim Gordon was in it. But Phantasm, the way he did it, is like, oh, Batman's starting to kill. So suddenly, like, they think the Phantasm to Batman because they're very dark and broody and they do the same stuff. Except Batman doesn't kill. And, like, Jim Gordon basically is, like, trying to argue people, like, no, Batman doesn't kill. This is not Batman. But you're like, what about Batman went over that edge? Like, everyone thinks that, like, Batman's always that close to becoming the Joker, which is so awesome. And speaking of the Joker, one of my favorite performances of Mark Hamill of all time is in this movie. He nails the Joker. He always does, but this was something special. Like, he knocked it out of the park.
Well, and this is where I'm torn on the movie. Because I appreciate how much, like, a ridiculous amount of, like, story that they packed into. It was, like, an hour and 10 minutes. Like, it was
hour,
like,
and 20. And you feel like it could have... Like, how did you do such a cohesive story in that amount of time?
Which, I like that part of it. But the flip side of that is that it is a very limiting story, I felt like, which, again, I didn't watch the animated series, but just that was related.
You
kind of
want
to movie.
A little bit now, a little bit,
possibly,
a little bit.
It might be on my, like, eternal list of movies I need to watch.
I will buy you all four on VHS if you just watch it.
But I need you to rent me the player, though.
I'm pretty sure Blockbuster burned down.
But anyway, you also limited the story to this story. So, like, Batman is, like, very much limited as far as his origin story and his adventure story is all wrapped in this, along with the Joker. Like, the Joker is, again, all this stuff is wrapped up in this story. And so you feel like it's a very close-ended Batman universe, which, I mean, it's like this is a Batman story. And, again, like, I've watched all the real movie Batman movies. With real actors.
You want to say that again?
Like, yeah, real movie.
Batman. Movies?
Like the Dark Knight trilogy, the new bad ones that they have, like Batman versus Superman. I've seen all those.
Wait, the new ones? The bad ones? What about Batman versus Robin? Oh, Batman and Robin. Well, and dang it, now I screwed up too verbally. Now I can't give you crap about it anymore.
You have a speech impediment. But, anyway, my point is that, like, this was a Batman story. But it was like a self-contained Batman story. So it left very little, like, even, you didn't feel like it was important that you would need to see other things that the Batman did. Because, like, this was, like, the entirety of the story.
Yeah, like, I wish they could have extended it, drawn out the mystery the more. I've seen it, I own it. I've probably seen it at least 9 times in my life. But the crazy thing is, too, like, I'm always so satisfied. Like, I'm never feeling like, you could have extended the story, yes. But the fact that they condensed it into under an hour and a half and still delivered this is nothing short of impressive.
Oh, and I feel like you're misunderstanding what I'm saying. how they did the story was great, but like, just like a sequel would be not really possible with this movie. Just the like, even if you have a movie that doesn't have a sequel, if you have like the illusion of like a bigger backstory that maybe you don't even totally cover, I feel like that's one of the reasons why, say, like Star Wars was such a like amazing hit with people, is because like there's so much that you that like you don't even ever get to see, or you're not really like, how does that work, or what about all these other planets, or like the old Jedi, like at the end of the Star Wars
movie, why do starships need fuel all of a sudden, like
at the end of the original Star Wars, like you didn't even know what the Jedi really were, like you just knew like, oh yeah, there was this whole thing and now he's a Jedi, but it's like, okay, well, like, what? But it was that whole idea, like, your imagination was captured by, like, even the stuff that wasn't in the movie, like, all the stuff around it. Where I'm like, this is a very much, it's kind of, it reminds me of almost like a book. Like, this is a Batman story, it's self-sufficient, it contains everything you want in 70 minutes, as far as the story goes, but there's very little outside of this story that would ever capture your attention in this universe that they created.
And one of the most amazing things, like you said, you've never seen the Batman animated series, and you still like this movie. This was the Batman, like, when they have a cartoon, like, oh, we're going to make a movie out of it. This was that movie, but you never needed to see any of the animated series to appreciate the movie.
Oh, yeah.
You appreciate it more, like, it's one of the things, like, you read the comic books, you appreciate this movie more. You didn't need that. This was, like you said, self-sufficient, start to finish, a Batman story. We know who Batman is. We know the players. And the game has changed just a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, again, like, it's amazing that you can do that within 70 minutes. As far as, like, that's one of the big problems I have with Zack Snyder. Like, the Snyder Cut's going to get released.
Might as well just bring that in, because we're going to do a podcast by itself.
4 hours long. 4 one-hour installments they're going to do on HBO of this movie. So he needs 4 hours.
I'm not getting HBO until they're
4 hours to tell the Justice League. And he had, I don't know, it was well over 2 hours to tell the story of Batman versus Superman that wasn't very good. Like,
3 hours was the director's cut on that one.
Yeah.
Legitimately,
and 3 hours. Watchmen was, like, over 3 hours. Like, to me, that very much frustrates me when people, like, take so long to take a simple story. And it's not a good story. It's like, you took 3 hours to tell me that story. This movie is the exact opposite. Like, I didn't think about how well you worked this much story into 70 minutes.
Well, after Batman vs. Superman, I was not shocked to see what happened with Justice League. Like, was I mad to watch it? No, but it was, like, very underwhelming for a Justice League movie. It was nothing like the Avengers. And then they're like, release the Snyder Cut. I'm like, you guys are pissing and moaning about it, about Batman and Superman. Now you want to release the Snyder Cut? Okay. I'm like, am I going to watch it? Yes. But am I going to wait till all four are out so I can watch them all in a row? Yes.
And for those of you who don't know, a little backstory. The Zack Snyder directed Batman vs. Superman, Man of Steel.
Man of Steel was good. I will argue that.
The Justice League. And he got, I don't know, it depends on who you talk to. His Snyder Cut was deemed unwatchable, and he had personal reasons, and so he was kind of kicked off slash left the movie. Where are left the movie making, so like it wasn't clear exactly. Like,
then you bring the Avengers man, Josh Whedon,
who has no ties. Yeah, like everything is lighthearted to him, and Zack Snyder, everything is dirty. And so when you watch Justice League, it's like, I feel like there's a good movie in here, but it's not what I'm watching. Like, it just feels odd. There's like a confused movie. And so after all this time, because people were very like upset with what a letdown it was, now they've decided to release the Snyder Cut. And so, yeah, it's going to be a four-hour...
It's a genius marketing scheme, because people, like, Justice League make a bunch of money because it's Justice League, so obviously you're going to see it, including myself and yourself. Like, you were like, ah, it's going to be bad. But, like, I was there day one from Batman vs. Superman, and I'm like, this is going to suck. But now they... Now, not only the recent movie that was bad, they made money, they're going to re-release it, a whole different cut, and people are going to be paying for it. Honestly... Oh. Maybe they're geniuses. Maybe they're like, you know what? We're just going to make people really pissed off and then just re-release it.
And I don't ever remember having a situation like this where you are re-releasing a movie that a different director did of the exact same movie.
Well, the weird thing was they brought Josh Whedon. And the problem was Josh Whedon makes sense in Josh Whedon's Marvel Universe. Like, Avengers was amazing. But the comedy was already there and stuff. And Zack Snyder had a very darker, gritty tone to all his movies. You can't mix oil and water and think it's going to, like, turn out to be a good product.
I mean, you could say Zack Snyder's dark and gritty.
He is. You like, also say boring. I like Man of Steel, but don't act like that was, like, a really happy feeling.
Man of Steel was... I enjoyed Man of Steel. I'm not going to diss on Man of Steel. But...
You can, though. If you want to think about it hard enough, you can.
Batman versus Superman...
Garbage.
Was straight up garbage. Like,
why did you say that name?
Why would you say that name?
That was like the point of the theater. Like, I literally almost walked out. But we are really getting off topic here.
Anyway.
Point being, Snyder Cut. See it if you want to. We're all going to see. Like, you tell me you're not going to see the Snyder Cut.
Oh, I'm totally.
You won't get a 7-day HBO. That's why I'm going to wait till all four are out. 7-day HBO subscription. I will get done with that in 2 days tops. And I'll see it all. But I was excited to see, of course, we'll continue on the Snyder Cut, the black suit of Superman. Because I did read the graphic novel, The Death and Return of Superman. And he did have a black suit. And it was so cool and so awesome to see. I'm like, wow, black suit of Superman. And I was really pissed. If you're going to bring Superman back to life, you didn't give me that. You just gave me his red and blue again. And they showed that in the trailer, and I'm like, crap. Now I got to freaking... buy an HBO subscription.
But anyway, returning to the movie, Mask of the Phantasm, I feel like they did a good job on giving you a Bruce Wayne that was relatable, true to like the character. You know, it wasn't like all of a sudden Bruce Wayne is killing people now, actually, like they all of a sudden decided in Batman versus Superman. Side note. But like,
what, they gave him a gun? Oh wait, they didn't give him a gun. Because he hates guns.
No, not in Batman vs. Superman. He was shooting people.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
That was my point.
Yes. But anyway, it was true to the Batman character. You have the love story. You have, like, the love story is, like, builds in, and with the connection with the girl and her dad, like, it builds in the origin of, like, Batman, the Joker, kind of the mob. Like, it sets
But it wasn't even really, like, a Joker origin story. You really don't know. You just find out he's part of one of the players. The gang that originally like started that, but you still don't get a lot from him, which is amazing about the Joker. Like, you don't need a backstory with this dude. Like,
yeah.
Like, this was before Dark Knight did it. Like, there's not really a lot. Like, you find out that back when he was younger, he's part of a gang that actually helped ruin his fiance's family. By the way, he got engaged. What were we on? 5-time spoiler alert?
5-time spoiler.
This dude, one podcaster, is like, damn it! Like, just leaves.
But, well, and, like, because he was the one that kills her dad. Like, he's walking out as she's walking in, so her dad's dead, and then she...
But did you even see, the first time, did you ever think that was the Joker?
No.
But it makes sense when the story plays. Watch it again. You'll even notice more tidbits. I'm like, damn. They made this movie so good.
Well, again...
For kids! This movie's for kids!
Back to how, like, it all relates, but is limiting as far as you have the Joker story, but there's not a lot more, I felt like, that they could tell with the Joker than they told in this movie with the how they set everything up. But, anyway, I'm going to go ahead and rate this movie. I'm going to say...
Don't undercut it. I know you're not going to cut it because you know what I'm going to give it.
I mean, I'm sure Jason gave a ridiculously high number.
I am. 15.
I'm going to go 7 out of 10. It was a solid 7 for me. It didn't blow me away. It left me very satisfied.
Listen.
I just felt like there was limitations in what it could be based on how they set it up. Where, again, I'm not an animated adult movie guy. This was enjoyable.
See,
but is it going to be one of my favorites?
We're going to have a whole podcast debate one day about... your hatred against animated films as an adult. I don't get it.
It's different if, like, I enjoy Disney movies because they're, like, kids' movies that are animated. I like watching with my son, and it's like, okay, that's different than, okay, this is, like, a serious movie for adults that's animated. Like, I would rather see this movie with real people.
Well, Siri's telling me to shut up.
Thanks a lot, Siri.
Siri. Well, now she's shut off the phone. Like, I'm not talking to this guy. 7 is way too low. I was hoping at least an 8 for me. So I'll give it a 2. I'm just kidding. This is a 9 for me. This is up there with Dark Knight. This is up there with Dark Knight Rises for me. This is up there with Batman Begins. This, if you are a Batman fan, you need to see this film. I am not kidding. Like, this is, it has an awesome...
You know what Disney should do? Do a live-action remake.
No, you not touch the mask of the... You gotta leave the story as is. You cannot put this live-action because you had Mark Hamill as the Joker. Why can't I remember the name for Bruce Wayne that did the voice acting?
Batman.
Oh yeah, duh. Batman did the voice of Batman. But this is a movie, like, if you're a Batman fan and you love him, Batman's your favorite superhero, it's not even mine, watch this movie. This is a 9 out of 10 for me. This is not even close. Like, it's like, I almost think, like, I'm kind of holding back. I'm like, yeah, it's an anime film. This is not a film that I'm going to show my 3-year-old anytime soon.
No. That,
like, it does very have very dark.
Warning, do
this
not
is
do
like
that.
This is like the Zack Snyder of animated films. Like, it's pretty dark.
Only it's not long and
you see a gravestone go on some guy, like, traps him in a grave, like, let me out, and then just puts a gravestone over him, like, and he dies, like, oh my god. Like,
that was the one part of the Phantasm that I didn't get. The Phantasm had a blade hand that she never used. I was just waiting for her to chop somebody up with it.
That so that's why you gave it to 7.
Pretty much. The whole reason.
The Phantasm didn't actually... She killed a bunch of people.
Without the blade on her
hand. She never
hand.
Straight up just murdered someone. Mortal Kombat style. Like, finish him.
Okay, if I have a blade on my hand, there's probably a reason for it.
We could use that as a distraction. Like, hey, come over here. Look at the blade. Boom. Done. Gravestone.
Or you just slice their throat. You just watch the head.
Anyways, we're going to talk about this way more after. because, but this is Bruising Review signing off. Go see Mask of the Phantasm.